Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God said, "Let us make man." God said and created everything. Words spoke everything physical that you and I can see into existence. And according to Hebrews 1:3, the Word upholds everything. If God was to ever lie, which it says in Hebrews chapter 6, it's impossible for God to lie. But if God ever broke His promise, if God ever failed to keep one of His promises, the world would self-destruct. Because everything is held together by that Word. So when God said, "You eat of this, you die. The soul that sins, it shall die." That created a problem. Because we've all sinned. And now for God to be just and holy, we have to die. Physically and spiritually. So how could there ever be mercy? How could mercy? Because God is truth. And because He's just and because He's holy, how could He ever show mercy? You know, that is a major problem that, again, a lot of people haven't thought through the things that I'm saying right here. But if you haven't sat down and thought this through, then all it means is that you're going to come to an incomplete conclusion and there's going to be confusion in this area. You need to consider this stuff. How can a holy God forgive us when truth, justice would demand that we die? And again, a lot of people think, well, now this is just being a little bit, you're too technical. This is truth. This is the way that God is. God dots every T. He crosses, or did I say that? He crosses every T and dots every I. God doesn't leave any detail undone. It's not like, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, He just says, "Whoops, King's X, time's out. I had my fingers crossed. Let's do this over. I don't want the results. Let's change." No, God can't change. He cannot change. He cannot lie. He is just. He's holy. He said these things. And we violated His laws. And by all forms of justice, we ought to be annihilated. How can mercy ever exist as long as God is just and holy? And then look at the second part of that verse. It says, "Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Did you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Romans 3:23. Romans chapter 3, I believe it's about verse 19, says that there are verse, anyway, right around there, says that there is none righteous. No, not one. It says, and I believe Isaiah chapter 64, some verse in that chapter says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you were to study that out, it's talking about a menstrual cloth. All of your righteousness, this isn't talking about your sins, your failures. This isn't talking about your bad things. This is talking about you at your very best are like a menstrual cloth, a dirty rag. And again, this is offensive to the average person because they say, "Oh, you don't know how good I am." Compared to me, you might be good. But compared to what God created us to be, the purity, the holiness that God put inside of man, we have all of our righteousness is like a filthy rag. You know, we have become so, I believe that we are so deadened. This book that I was advertising tonight about hardness of heart would illustrate this and go into a lot more detail on it. But we have grown up in the midst of sin and of hatred and bitterness and lying and selfishness. And we've been so conditioned towards it that many of us don't even think about it. But God didn't make us to be this way. I've got a teaching out there entitled "Self-Centeredness, the Root of All Grief." If you don't have that, you ought to get it. It'd change your life. It'd totally, totally, totally change your life. But we have grown up so self-centered, so focused on self, that we just think that this is normal. Some people grow up in homes where there's so much strife, there's so much anger, there's bickering and there's fighting. And then we see it on television. Nearly every sitcom has these terrible jabs that are spoken back and forth, and there's hatred in movies. And we have become so conditioned that we think this is normal. And so because of this, we think, I'm really a good person. Good person compared to what? Compared to some movie characters, compared to some sitcom, compared to the way that you were brought up, but compared to what God intended us to be, we are of all sin come short of the glory of God. We are very unrighteous. And therefore, there is no peace to the wicked, is what the Lord said. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that the Lord would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Because he trusts in him. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says that to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mindedness is just talking. It doesn't have to be terrible sin. It doesn't have to be perversion, total rebellion towards God. Carnal just means natural. Just think in the natural realm. Just be a natural person. Just be a good, nice, natural, carnal person. And it's death. But to be spiritually minded, John chapter 6 verse 63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. To be spiritually minded is to be word minded. If we were to think like God, it produces life and peace. But there's a problem here. We are all carnal. We are all much less, and most of us don't even know it. And so how could righteousness and peace coexist? Because peace only comes to those who have lived right, who have done these things, and all of us have come short. All of us. There is none of us that are righteous. So what I'm trying to do through this verse is to show you that mercy and truth are in opposite directions. How could they ever meet together? Righteousness and peace exclude each other because none of us are righteous. So therefore, how could we ever have peace with God? These are opposing things. And you will hear people either emphasize the holiness and the righteousness of God and talk about how that God is so strict, and without exception, those people will be people that do not have peace, that do not have mercy. They are judgmental. They're harsh. We just saw an example of this. A person who went out and killed a man who committed abortions. Which abortions are bad. But you don't kill the person who's doing it. That's an example of an extreme. But that's a person who did not understand mercy and truth dwelling together. They become legalistic and condemning. Or you'll have people that go the other direction that just sit there and throw off all restraint, and there is no such thing as morality. And instead of living up to a standard, what they do is just lower the bar so far that you could fall across it. It doesn't take any effort. That it virtually you don't have to do anything because everything, it's just all is dependent on stuff. And if worse comes to worse, well then it's not your fault. You were raised in a dysfunctional home. So the reason you're such a jerk is because of what somebody else did. That's the way that the world is responding to things. But I'm telling you that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They are now in harmony. How can this be? How could a holy God ever justly treat us as if we are worthy of things? And you know, I'm trying to lay a foundation, and I'm going to spend the rest of this week trying to explain this. But in a nutshell, I'll say it and then I'll go into a lot more detail. But this is all through Jesus. You know, people don't fully appreciate Jesus because, number one, they don't fully appreciate how desperate our situation was without Jesus. If you don't know, if you never have felt the condemnation and the wrath and the separation from God, you won't fully appreciate the freedom and the acceptance and the love of God. You know, the scripture says to those who much has been forgiven, the same love much. And even though I was listening, you know, that I haven't done a lot of the outward sins that a lot of people have done, So some people think, well, then, man, you could never love much. But the difference is, I may not have committed some of the same acts that you all have, but I have probably seen my own sin and unworthiness stronger than most people in this room. I can't say that for certain, but I could say that I had a supernatural revelation from God. I became a religious Pharisee, and I got to trusting in my own goodness. And I looked down my nose at other people and thought about, man, I wish that they were as holy as I was. And in the midst of that hypocrisy, God showed me my sin and showed me how unrighteous I was. And I believe that I've had a greater revelation of my unworthiness and my lack of deserving the things of God than the vast, vast majority of people. And because of it, I appreciate what Jesus did for me. If you never fully understand this problem, this, what do you call it, conundrum. That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you, Larry. If you don't understand this conundrum, you will not fully appreciate what God has done for us. If you think that God really found a jewel when he found you, and that no wonder Jesus came, is because you are so awesome. You know, just yesterday on the plane, I was reading in Ezekiel chapter 16. And over there, it was talking to the nation of Israel, and the Lord was basically trying to get across the same point. And he says, you were like a child that was born, and in the day of your birth, you weren't swaddled, you weren't cleaned up, you were cast out into the dirt. You still had blood on you. You didn't have your navel cut. You were wallowing in your own blood, and you were polluted, and you were filthy. And at that time, when we were this defiled, dirty thing, the Lord found us and took us unto himself. And the point he was trying to make to the nation of Israel was, I didn't pick you because you deserved it. He said in other places, he says, you weren't the mightiest nation. You weren't the strongest nation. I didn't pick you because you were the greatest of anything. I picked you out of love and out of mercy.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm really limited in trying to get my point across. You need to hear this in its entirety. That's why I'm advertising the materials that we're offering. But also, our website is a great place for you to go and get much more teaching on this. We have television programs, radio programs right there that you can view and listen to on our website. I have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads. I have my Bible commentary available on the website. We've just got a wealth of information, so please check it out, and I believe that you'll find it to be one of the best websites out there.